just want to be a blessing and encouragement, but we want to give you the truth. We're not coming just to be sociable. We've got the truth of the Word of God, and that's what we want to bring to you and hope that, again, it will touch your heart and the Holy Spirit of God will stir our hearts. And above all, that if there's any here that needs to be saved, they'll get saved today. Any Christian that is here today, any born-again child of God that is here today, that maybe things have happened this week, maybe it's happened this month, maybe it's been difficult, maybe you've gotten discouraged, maybe you've stumbled and fell some, that as a result of this service and these services today, that you will see that God is still on the throne. He still loves you. He still wants all of us to walk in fellowship with Him. Now, when we look at this and we read this, you're going to say, well, now, why in the world would Brother Poynter pick this lesson to bring to this group this morning? And here is the answer, that Jesus Christ is the source of life. He is the answer. You may be thinking this morning, he's not really too interested in me. He's not interested in my problems. I don't, the difficulties that I'm facing, he doesn't know about. Oh, yes, he does. You're here this morning, especially if you're saved. He wants you to know he does care. He is there. And there's a place for you to turn and me to turn. And you believe this, and I'll tell you more about this throughout the services this morning. But, preachers get to that place that we don't have any place else to turn to either. We turn to the Lord because He is the answer. Look with me in John chapter 2 this morning, verse number 1. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles, and you might want to mark that, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Would you bow in prayer with me, please? Father, thank you again for your blessings upon us and the privilege of being here today. Lord, to meet with these folks, and Lord, to be a blessing to them. And I am so honored that Pastor Springer would trust me with this great responsibility and yet give me this wonderful opportunity. And I pray, Father, meet with us. May we learn more of you today. May our hearts be stirred. May they be encouraged. And may Jesus Christ be magnified and lifted up today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, the 4 gospel accounts of the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ is given here in John, and of course all of the gospels. And it's a good understanding of life and what life is all about. Now, today I want to consider a brief picture of Christ that we find in the second chapter of the Gospel of John. Here we find Jesus in attendance at a wedding. Weddings are very special times for all involved. I know I've had several weddings over the years up there in Sioux City. It is a great time. It is a stressful time to those that are involved. And all the details, and then you come down to the night of the rehearsal, and you have to make sure this one is standing there, and that one's standing there, and who's coming, when, and all of that. Now, in Sioux City, I use a wedding, what I call a wedding coordinator. Is a lady there in the church. She's a traffic director. And boy, I'll tell you, you need them at weddings to make sure people are in certain places. I remember one wedding up there. We were just starting. And the ushers were just getting ready to come. The attendants were just getting ready to come down the center aisle. Okay? And all of a sudden, she looked around and they're leaving. She says, "Where are you going?" They said, "Well, we're going to go decorate the car." Hello? The wedding's starting. Amen? And so, needless to say, how do I say this kindly? Let me just put it this way. They didn't go out. Amen? Don't mess with a wedding coordinator. All right? And but weddings are special. And weddings are a great time. But there's such a feeling of excitement. Two people are going to stand up and pledge their love to each other. And weddings take place every day of the year somewhere. I saw an ad. I hope this is, well, I hope it's not right. But there's a certain city in America called Sin City. And I'm trying to figure out, why in the world would you go to Sin City to get married? Now, that's another story. I won't go there. They do like 300 weddings a day. Huh? And weddings ought to be special. There ought to be a time when the bride and the groom will sit down with the pastor and go over some things and talk about some things. Because marriage is serious. And there's a lot of things. And it can be full of strife. I remember one of the most serious attacks on my marriage was shortly after we got married. When I found out she squeezed the toothpaste tube in the middle and not on the end. Our family was always squeezing on the end of the tube. Amen? Rolling that bad boy out. Boy, I'll tell you, that was a struggle. That was a real struggle. So, you know, you need to have that time. But it doesn't matter whether a wedding is a great big affair or whether it's a small one, yet with just a few friends. They're unique, each one, and they're special by their very nature. And, you know, we don't have to get into this place, and I trust you folks don't down here in Council Bluffs, where this one has to be outdone by that. That's not it. Every wedding, large or small, is very, very unique and very special. Now, in our text, we find Jesus and his disciples in attendance at a wedding. Now, they weren't doing the wedding, okay? They're just in attendance at the wedding. Now, we don't know the identities. You read that carefully. Who is being married? We don't know. We have no idea the identity of the bride or the groom, because that's not what is the important thing. What God inspired John to record for us is weddings are proper. and they're right. And you know something? I don't care if every court in the land, I don't care if the Supreme Court of the United States of America says it's all right for two men to marry or two women to marry. God's Word says that a marriage is between one man and one woman. That settles it. That settles it. And so the identities are not given. And weddings are proper and weddings are right. And notice, we see this based on the fact that Jesus is concerned. He gets involved in the problems at this wedding. And this tells us, now here's what I want you to see, is that He gets involved in the problems and in the situations of everyday life. Don't you listen to the old devil, oh, the Lord's not concerned with my problem because, you know, it's not all that big. And He's just concerned about the big problems. Look at this. He's concerned about our everyday problems. He cares. So maybe you've struggled this week, or maybe next week you'll be struggling. You know, oh, well, the Lord isn't concerned. Have you ever said, oh, I'm a nobody. I'm a nobody. Hey, listen, that's a lie of the devil. If you are saved, you're born again, you are a child of the King. You are somebody. He cares about you. And He loves you. And He wants to hear from you. And He wants to hear what's on your heart. And aren't you glad He does? Now, that was by way of introduction. Let me give you a few points. And some things that I really want you to see from this. Number one, Christ's participation in the events of life, which we've already been talking about, verse 1 and 2, the circumstances. Now, a wedding in biblical days was a huge social event. The celebration could last as long as a week. Oh, I am so glad weddings don't last that long. Amen. But back in Bible times, they did. Again, we're not told who's getting married, but it could have been somebody, and I'm going to speculate a little bit, and I'll show you why I think this in just a minute. But it could have been somebody that was related to Jesus. And I say this because Mary, the mother of Jesus, is involved in it. She's involved in the happenings and what is going on. And this teaches us that Jesus chose to participate in this common, routine, everyday event. Here's my point. Jesus isn't just interested in Sundays. The Lord Jesus isn't just for Sunday. Okay, Sunday. And I'm so glad you're here. Don't get me wrong. I'm so glad to see you. I'm so glad you came today. I really am. All right? But when you leave here today, it's not, okay, Sunday's over. Take off the suit, the tie, take off the Sunday clothes, lay them down. That's it, I'm done now the rest of the week. Here's the point. Jesus is not just for Sunday. So many people today are getting that attitude. So many folks out there today, He's just for 1 hour a day. No, He's not. He desires, in fact, He deserves to be included in all of our life. All of it. There shouldn't be little places tucked away where Jesus isn't allowed to go. There should be little places in our heart. Oh, now wait a minute. That's my territory. People are so territorial today. Have you ever noticed that? They're so territorial. You know, be careful now. Don't tread on my territory. I was in a school down in Texas. I went to the Calvary Baptist Church while I was in school. It was a large church. We run about 700 when I was there. Big auditorium. And way over here on this side, and they had those pillars. We got them like the supporting pillar joists things that, like we have up there in Sioux City now that are on the inside. Hold the roof up. Thank God they hold the roof up. Amen. So it had those, and one of them came down right over here, okay? And it came down, and there was a seat right in front of it. And then there was an aisle. There was one dear man in the church. I mean, he was a dear man, but, well, maybe not so dear. But he always sat in that same chair. Can I ask a question? How many of you sat in the same chair every week? Come on, amen, amen. All right, it's good. You know what I'm talking about. He always sat in the same chair. And the reason for that is he could lean his head back against that pillow. He did. Now, you're not going to believe it. As nice and kind and gentle of a person as Brother Pointer is, I can use an amen right there. Amen, amen. Amen. Come on, everybody say amen. Amen. I'd have trouble with that one. Okay? But every Sunday he parked over there. One Sunday, we had a visitor. Guess where he sat? Right over there in that chair. Everybody in the choir was watching. You see that? Check it out. Look over there. He saw that Brother So-and-so's chair. Brother So-and-so, come walking in. Now, you could not see when you came in from the back. You could not see that chair because this great big pillar is in the way. He comes trudging down the aisle. He walks up, and this man sitting in that chair. And he stopped. As if to say, what is wrong with you? This is what he did. He said, you could read his lips, you're in my chair. Made the visitor move. Oh. Yeah. Made him move. Isn't that terrible? But we all get territorial. I've got my area. Now maybe, you know. Yeah, I'm the same way. I have certain things that's my territory. But not to the point of offending somebody else, and especially a visitor. So this is the thing. Let me get back to this. I'm digressing just a little bit here this morning. The Lord desires to be in every area of our heart and lives. I hope this morning you haven't crowded him out. I hope this morning that we haven't gotten territorial about our lives. Territorial about our heart, and there's a room in my heart I don't want him messing with, because there's something there that's mine, and I don't want to open the door. I don't want to allow him to come in. There's a saying, there's a lot of truth to it, that he either is Lord of all or he isn't Lord at all. So is he Lord of all this morning? But look at the call. Notice, if you will, verse 2. Jesus is invited. He's invited. Don't you just love an invitation? Amen. Amen. Oh, man, I'll tell you what. I want everybody's name and address because my grandson is graduating, I hope. All right, and man, I'll send you all an invitation because you just said you like invitations. Amen? I'm teasing. All right. You gotta understand, I tease a little bit. I have a good time. God saved me. He saved me completely. And I rejoice in all the good things of God. And I enjoy laughing and having a good time. But no, Jesus is invited. What would you have thought if I would have heard that your pastor was going to be out of town? And after going to a convention with young people, he probably needs more than just a few days off. He may need a month off. Amen? All right, I'm meddling. Okay. What would you have thought had I just heard, you know, there is the grapevine. Yeah, you can't do anything anymore between Facebook, email, texting, Twittering, tweeting, you know. Can I just be frank about it? Who cares what I had for breakfast? Amen? I'm off on another. All right. Let me get back to this. What would it have been? I just showed up. Your pastor's going to be gone? I'm going to fill in a bit. Oh, that would never happen. Oh, yeah, it does. One Sunday. Up at Sioux City in our old building at 13th Street, we've relocated out to Pawnee Place in another building. God's really blessed and Anchorage. It's really nice. But, man, come on. As a pastor, you know when something critical's happening. Pastor, got to talk to you. Uh-oh. There's a guy over here that just came in and said he's going to sing a special this morning. Oh, really? Who is he? Never seen him before. Walked over there and I introduced myself. I was very kind, very cordial, welcomed him to the service. And he informed me that he was singing that morning. I said, oh, really? I said, I don't think you are. I said, we've got someone already practiced that's going to be singing. You got to be a member of the church. If you're good enough to sing a solo, you got to sing in the choir. And you haven't done any of that, have you? Well, no. But I'm still going to sing. I said, no, sir. You're welcome to come in and sit down and be a part of the service that way. But our people will be singing. He said, you're not going to let me sing. I said, no, sir, I'm not. He said, well, I'm leaving. I said, well, you're welcome to stay. It happens. What would you have thought about it? And some of you know me. What? Pastor Springer didn't say he was going to be teaching and preaching this morning. Wow. Probably some of these big guys would have said, Brother Pointer, can we talk to you out in the parking lot for a few minutes? Okay. But no, here's my point. Jesus was invited. You got it? He was invited, and the disciples were invited, and he deserves to be invited in. You're here this morning, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. If you don't know for certain where your soul is going to spend eternity, you need to invite him in to save you and forgive you. Dear saved friend, have you invited him in to walk with him every day? Have you invited him in to fellowship with him and walk with him? He ought to be invited. He deserves inclusion. Turn with me quickly over to 1 Corinthians. He deserves inclusion in all that we are and all that we do. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse number 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Look at the first part of verse 20. For you are bought with a price. What was the price? Who paid the price? Jesus did. He paid the price. We're coming up on Easter. Where did he pay the price at? On the cross. And what happened? He shed his blood. Amen? He was humiliated. And he became sin. Out of all of the scourging, out of all of the humiliation that he endured, the hardest thing of all is that the perfect Son of God and God the Son became sin for you and for me. He deserves to be included. He deserves. He deserves. He has the access rights to everything. But if you look in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, you'll see that in that passage, he's on the outside knocking, waiting for admittance. He's on the outside looking in. There are times when Jesus stands ready with the solution to our problems. But he's patiently, and let's learn this lesson. He is patiently waiting for our invitation. He's patiently waiting. Why not make that happen today? But then you see, thirdly, the consideration. Notice when he was called, Jesus came. You never have to wonder if Jesus is going to show up, if Jesus will come on our half to our aid. He cares. He cares. And sometimes the old devil is going to make you think there isn't anybody who cares for me. There's nobody that cares for me. He always cares for you. You're one of his children. He always cares for you. Our youngest son is and family's missionary down in Peru. I don't get to see him. I haven't seen him now in years. Get to talk to him once in a while, talk to the family. But let me tell you something. I always care for him. The Savior always cares for you. When we are done here in this Sunday school class this morning, I want you to know this. I want you to get this. I want you to hang on to this. He always cares for me. It's easy to say, well, he always cares for Brother Pointer. He always cares for Pastor Springer. He always cares for Wayne. He always cares for somebody. No, he always cares for you. Put your name in there. Learn that truth. This isn't anything new. This isn't anything you haven't heard before. I'm just trying to underscore it this morning for you. He cares. And when we call, he will answer. Turn over to Matthew with me quickly. Chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Look at verse number 7 and verse number 8. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. He cares. But he'll wait until we call on him. Then you have Christ's power in the events of life. Look at verses 3 through 9. Look at the problem, verse number 3. And they wanted wine. The mother said, Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Now let me touch on this. I'll just touch on this briefly, okay? I want to get to this so nobody goes out of here misunderstanding or mistaken. We're having this. We have all of these folks out there that the Hollywood crowd and so many others that want to talk about why it's all right. You know, well, it's all right to drink as long as you do it in moderation. Well, look up that case. That when it talks about doing something in moderation, it is not talking about drinking. It's talking about two ladies in the church getting along with each other. That's in context. Can't be challenged. But look at this quickly, all right? Because this has to be grape juice. Has to be grape juice. No two ways about it. Okay? Jesus would not produce that which is contrary to the Word of God. Are you there? Turn over to the book of Ephesians with me. Book of Ephesians. Just look at the Bible. The Bible settles it. Bible is our final authority. Amen? Book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Verse number 18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. World says be filled with wine. The Lord says be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, come over to 1 Corinthians with me. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 6. And verse number 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. When you get saved, all that stuff leaves. I am a new creature in Christ. I'm getting ahead of my message here for the preaching service. I am a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. The Lord would not have made something. By the way, Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 1. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. It couldn't have been alcoholic wine. There's no way. But there's a problem. And here's what I want you to see about it, okay? Mary sees it, and we need to follow Mary's instruction. What does she do? There are those that say today, listen, there are those that say today that Mary should be worshipped. That Mary should be prayed to. All right, there's so many. And all of this. Let me say kindly now to you. Okay? Look what Mary did. She said, tell Jesus. She couldn't do anything about it, folks. She said, tell Jesus. And here is the thing. Take your problem to Jesus. That's what Mary did. That's what we need to do. And then, and let me touch on this. Turn to Philippians with me. Philippians chapter 4. And verse number 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That's where we need to go. Jesus. And that's why we need to go. And then, secondly, follow His commands. She said, whatever He tells you to do, do it. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. And the lesson for us is clear. And I'll be done. When problems arise, troubles come and toss our lives, just remember the best thing we can do is what Jesus tells us to do. And what does he say to do? Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto him. There's only one mediator between man and God. That's what the Bible says now. One. It's not Mary. It's not the priest. It's not the pope. It's not the pastor. Don't get me wrong now. When folks in our churches that we pastor, they have a burden, they have a problem, we're happy to talk to them. We're happy to pray for them and to pray with them. But I tell my folks this all the time. It doesn't have to go through me. Child of God, you've got direct access. Amen? Direct access. But we're happy to pray with you. We rejoice when our people rejoice, and we weep when our people weep. And I know your pastor well enough to know he does the same thing. But I'm telling you something that I'm sure he's already told you. You have direct access to the Father. You don't have to go through anybody else. But he says, come, and we're told, come to him. 1 Peter 5:7, cast your cares on him. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, trust him. Acts chapter 16, verse number 31, believe on him. Believe that he can. And believe on him for salvation. He's the only way. He's the only way to get to heaven. It's not multiple choice. It's not through church membership. It's not through baptism. It's not through good works. It's through him and him alone. Trusting in him for salvation. He'll save you. He'll forgive you. And folks, understand something. When I was talking about these things, I was there. I was doing a lot of those things. But he saved me and he forgave me. And you know something? It's been over 50 years now, and I ain't got over it yet. And I don't plan on it. Save a sinner like me. But you know, you don't have to be a great, great, big sinner to have that same attitude. He saved you. He forgave you. You ought to be just as excited about it today as I am. And we ought to be excited together. And we don't have to wait till we get to heaven to get excited about it. Amen?